Chapter 3 Dinner was grilled filet mignon with béarnaise sauce, French onion soup, and a tossed green salad. From the cellar, he selected a Bordeaux-style Cabernet Sauvignon from Texas that had been creating a lot of excitement in wine enthusiast circles lately. Cheryl almost stopped Clay from pouring her wine. She was pregnant. No alcohol for her. But refusing the wine would be out of character. She couldn't pretend to still be ill, refuse the wine, but wolf down the wonderful meal in front of her. So she accepted the wine, vowing to end her alcohol consumption on another day. After dinner, Clay spoke.
"You've been quiet. Are you sure you're okay? Your appetite certainly hasn't diminished,"
Clay said with a smile. "Think fast, Cheryl." "I'm good. Sorry, I was thinking about the children's reading club at the library. I'm still not sure I should take it on." Another white lie. She hadn't been thinking about the library, but she had been offered to take the lead on the children's program.
"You do have a lot going on right now. Besides, don't forget we're trying to get pregnant. Now's probably not the best time to make long-term commitments,"
Clay said. Cheryl felt a pang of guilt, followed by a rush of anxiety that left her speechless. All she could do was nod her head in agreement.
"The library will always be there, sweetheart. Maybe that's something to consider down the road a few years,"
Clay reasoned. "I think you're right. I'll ask them tomorrow to remove my name from consideration." They cleaned up the kitchen together, watched the news on TV, and went to bed early. Cheryl couldn't sleep. Too many voices in her head, none of them good. She tried praying, but in mid-prayer, doubt and fear overcame her. The story was the same. She had gotten pregnant and was going to ruin their lives. Clay was so happy in his new life. She could see God working in him. He was touching others and making a contribution everywhere. In all the years she had known Clay, well before they became romantically involved even, she couldn't remember seeing him as free and happy as he was being right now. The bedroom was still, except for a subtle snoring sound coming from Clay. Her eyes were wide open. Moonlight streamed through the window and formed eerie shadows in the room. The shades of black seemed to morph and dance all around her. The voices in her head danced too. Dozens of voices screaming at her. "You don't deserve all this. He's going to leave you. You're ruining his life. No one cares about you." On and on the voices repeated. Then the voices weren't in her head. They were in the shadows. The shadows were talking to her, with accusing, ridiculing words. The same words she had heard in her family while growing up.
"Don't be so stupid. Why can't you do it right? You'll never amount to anything."
She drifted off into a troubled sleep, but kept waking up every hour or so, only to be welcomed by the haunting voices in her head. At a little past midnight, she realized further sleep was impossible. She gently left the bed and stood at the window in her nightgown. The rare, cloudless sky presented a brilliantly lit moon low on the horizon. The darkness beckoned her. Maybe taking a little fresh air in the moonlight would settle her mind. She tiptoed into her closet, grabbed a pair of shoes, and quietly walked out of the bedroom. At the front door, for warmth, Cheryl put on the tailored yellow rain jacket she always kept in the coat closet, slipped on the walking shoes, and stepped out into the darkness. The night was indeed glorious. It was so very still she had no problem hearing the waves crash on the rocks. At the foot of the cliff just ahead, the moon shone so brightly that she could see every pebble in the dirt path at her feet. She strolled along the path by the house toward the fence that guarded the cliff. She followed the path to the right that hugged the fence until coming to a solitary bench made from sawed logs. She sat down,
running her hands across the thick wood, worn smooth by time. Life was crazy, she thought. Like this bench. It had been in this spot overlooking the ocean since before she was born. This bench had withstood the storms of at least 35 winters. It had endured the countless etchings of initials into its surface by playful children with pocket knives who hoped their carvings would somehow maintain their memories for eternity. It made her wonder, why do people want to be remembered? Why do people want to live long lives? Her hand explored the variety of etched initials in the log bench, barely readable in the moonlight. She let her fingers pause on a roughly cut heart on the edge of the bench. The initials in the heart were no longer discernible, worn smooth by time. But Cheryl knew the initials, S.L. and R.W. She and this bench had a history together. In one of life's great coincidences, she had visited this property several times as a child while staying with her aunt and uncle for a few weeks each summer. In those days, the lighthouse grounds were open to the public, even though the lighthouse and attendance house were off limits. The lighthouse was a functioning beacon of navigation back then, operated by the Coast Guard. The field, with its sweeping view of the Pacific, was a favorite picnic spot for the locals. The tangled cedar forest that bordered the field on one side was a wondrous playground for children, with imaginations filled with ghosts and pirates. S.L. and R.W. Cheryl Landing and Randy Watson. A melancholy smile touched Cheryl's face. Ah, Randy. Sweet little Randy, whom she met here while playing during her last summer visit to Reef Bay. They connected as children often do. She let Randy chase her through the forest, but when she saw that she was faster than he was, she slowed just enough so he could catch her. They spent hours that day playing and sharing their lunches together. Late in the afternoon, when their families called them back to leave, Randy took Cheryl's hand and led her to the bench. She sat while he removed a small Boy Scout knife from his pocket and carved a heart with their initials into the wood. She never saw Randy again after that day, but that moment at this bench had been one of the sweetest moments of Cheryl's life. Now here she sat on the same bench, which she and Clay owned, together with the trees that rimmed the property, the field, the lighthouse, and the residence. Her fingers caressed the carved heart. She wondered why she hadn't shared the story about Randy Watson with Clay. The two of them sat here frequently, usually sharing a glass of wine. Clay was so fortunate to own this place. How fortuitous that his Uncle Charlie bequeathed the property to him and they could afford the major remodeling that had been necessary. She turned to look up at the lighthouse towering above her. The lighthouse held so many stories. She recalled their wedding ceremony, how Raymond Bailey used his connections in the Coast Guard for permission to turn on the decommissioned light just once in celebration of their union. Another sweet, touching moment in her life. The sweet memories were pushed out of her mind again, replaced by darker thoughts. It was all too perfect. Too good. She didn't belong here. She was only going to spoil it for Clay. She and the new embryo in her belly would put an end to this paradise. She sat at the bench next to the fence and looked out across the ocean. What an amazing scene. The ocean glittered silver in the moonlight. From this vantage point on the bluff, high above the churning surf, she could imagine seeing all the way to Hawaii, where Clay had promised to take her next year. Too perfect. Too perfect for her. She didn't belong here. She couldn't ruin it for him. Her entire life had been such a struggle. To love herself, to love others, to love God, and to welcome God's love for her. Yet with each step forward, With each victory, there followed a painful defeat. Time and time again during her life, she had felt like a football running back, fumbling the ball on the goal line. It was one thing to mess up her life, but now she was pregnant and going to mess up Clay's life. He was the only man who ever loved her. And how is she repaying him? By ruining his life with a baby she forced him to agree to. Fatigue cascaded over her like a giant wave. What was the purpose of living if every happiness was erased by pain and sorrow? Why strive for a goal when deep down she knew the ball was going to be fumbled in the end zone? In a moment of clarity, she recognized that her father had been correct. She was stupid and a screw-up. She was a problem for everyone around her. If she removed herself from the equation, why? The problem would be solved. Cheryl stood and then stepped up onto the bench. From the bench, she took a step up and out. The top of the wobbly fence greeted her right foot. Quickly, she brought up her left foot until she was standing awkwardly, swaying on the fence's top rail as if competing in the balance beam event at a gymnastics contest. It was difficult to stay balanced, and would have been impossible if the usual wind were blowing. For the first time, she glanced down. Waves crashed 75 feet below her, leaving luminescent white foam on the jagged rocks. It was so utterly beautiful. The ocean beckoned. A brilliant light suddenly filled the night behind her. She stepped forward off the fence and dropped from sight into the darkness below. Just off the clearing, about 50 feet away from the bench, a lone figure relaxed under the cedars, hidden from the glow of moonlight and the floodlights that had just come on from the house. He took a final deep drag from his twisted Culebra cigar before flicking the twisted butt over the fence. He watched the glow of the ember fall out of sight. What an exceptionally fine day it had been. From a tattered journal in his pocket, he tore out a page, stuffed it into his mouth, and chewed. It was over for S-41. He had won.